what is happening in your life today and what will happen in the future depends entirely on the past you are living. So the question is, what past are you living? And is that past as you truly desire? Or as you desire to live eternally? Anybody want to comment?
I just have a little bit of a question. If somebody asked me to explain your first statement that the future is based on the past I'm living, I'm not sure I could really flesh that one out. Could you elaborate just a bit?
Because whatever you're doing in your life today is fundamentally based on the past, what you've done, what you know, what you've learned, and etc. And
all right.
So then you create that over again, and that in itself creates what's going on in your life today, and what you can say, oh, well, I can change. Yeah, you can, but you're really just messing around with appearances when you do that, because fundamentally you are living the past over and over again in one form or another.
Okay.
So the question still is the past that you are living one you truly desire? And if it is not something that you would be willing to live eternally, what are you willing to do about that? Anything?
Yes. What am I willing to do about that? I'm willing to give myself a past I desire to live eternally.
No, okay. And how would you go about doing that?
I mean, I guess we've talked about it a little bit, quite a lot, actually. And I would go with at least the one that comes. I think there's more than one way to do it, but I guess certainly the way I'm most focused on right now is the one of writing a story and then a detailed story at that of the past that I imagine to be mine, not quite making it up, but sort of making it up. Making it up gets it started.
Well, let's assume that that's the past before you were born. What about what you would do with the past since you were born? Anything?
That's a really interesting one. Yeah, that's really interesting because, it's like I have certain fixed memories sometimes of, it really takes a quite a bit of doing to relook at it sometimes from the, take some things of that I've learned from forever living and look at the past and say, how it's different, because I'm so habitually, that is a story that is almost like habitually played over in my mind to a point that I don't really think about restorying it.
So technically, you're probably living your high school days over again.
When I was thinking about that, when I was talking about that, the image I was focusing on was high school days. Yes.
Well, okay. What the hell are you going to do about that? I mean, this story idea. Well, that's okay. But what are you going to do about all the stuff you've been living since? Let's see, you're 40 something. From about 1960 something until now.
Yeah. I guess one thing would be to everything that my story is largely based on what I did, what I've done, what was said to me, what was done to me, that kind of stuff. So a lot of my judgments about it come from what I think that those outcomes or those actions meant. Maybe I've never really looked at it from what those things reveal about who I actually am. Maybe I should go back and look at those events and say, now who is the who that's living that? What do the events show about the who?
Well, I did say before that memories are mostly about events, whereas memory is about you.
Yep.
So if you want to get past memories, if you want to deal with who you is and etc., which is kind of what we've been talking about, then I guess you're right. You're going to have to get away from events and who is the individual that is living those things. But still, even if you know who is the person that is living those things or has lived those things for the last 40 odd years, how are you going to live your past? You know, the old rule of thumb, you can't you can't hold your past in your hand. The past is gone, nothing you can do about it. Let the dead bury the past, etc. So, what, if anything, can you do about it? Or can you say, Roger, what the hell difference does it make? Nothing I can do about it. Or are you willing to start off considering something? Everything that exists and everything that is real in the universe has a past. Would you buy that?
Sure.
So anything that does not have a past does not exist and is not real.
I don't know if I can go with that.
Why?
Well, I don't know. That just—I mean, just the sounds of that sound like it might be overlooking some things in the universe.
Why? You went along with the first statement. Everything that exists and is real has a past. You said, I can go along with that. Then,
yeah, right. So the other thing I've learned in the years of dealing with you is I have to be careful what I agree to, because within a short period of time, we might come back and...
Well, what do you mean? All I did was you agreed to that. That's fine. I didn't coerce you.
No, you didn't.
And all I said is everything that is real, anything that does not have a past, must not be real.
Do I have to be aware of that past?
I didn't say that. I said anything that...
Okay.
It doesn't have a past, cannot be real.
Okay. All right.
All right. And without a desirable past, any relationship, let's say with your eternal self today, is unreal and dysfunctional. Okay?
Okay.
For you can have no loving relationship with your eternal self unless that relationship has a loving past. Does that make sense? All I did was throw in an adjective.
Yeah.
Because if the thing itself doesn't have a past and it can't exist, then a loving relationship without a past cannot exist either.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm catching up with you. I've never thought about this before, but okay.
So then your eternal self has a past, or it doesn't exist.
Right? Yep.
And the relationship with your eternal self has a past. We okay with that?
Yeah.
Well, then actually you can never move out of the past, can you?
I can never move out of the past.
No, because everything that exists has a past. Every relationship to exist has a past. Therefore, you can never move out of the past.
Oh, I see. So anything, yeah, okay, I see. Anything in my life that exists only exists because it has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And because it probably is actively, maintaining that past.
Okay, but then if you can't is it possible that because you can't move out of the past, that doesn't mean that you have to be repeating and recycling the past again and again?
Yeah, I don't think I have to do that. I change my...
Because you can, for you, you can constantly create a new past and live that new past.
Right.
Provided the new past has an old past.
Yeah. Hey, it doesn't, we don't really qualify past in terms of length either, right? It could just be a little bit of past and it exists.
Any minute past and it still exists.
Okay, gotcha, yeah.
Therefore, acting to create the relationship with your eternal self you want now will defeat you, won't it?
Say that again?
Acting to create the relationship with your eternal self that you want now will defeat you.
Okay, yeah. I should somehow set up the relationship that I want now as something that happened in the past.
So
that I can see its ripple effect reinforces through my everything.
So then we might say that instead, as you said, act now to create the past with your eternal self you truly desire to live and remember. So this alone keeps the relationship new and fresh.
Okay.
You understand that?
That alone keeps it new and fresh. Well, I guess that sounds like I best be reinventing my past all the time.
Aren't you? And shouldn't you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I never thought about it. I guess I was looking for a pretty good past and going to hang with that one.
Sure, but then you see what you're doing is you've been looking for, like everybody else, since everyone has said from time immemorial that the past is gone, there's nothing you can do about that, so you deal with the present or live in the present to create the future you want. Wait a minute, that seems to be a foundation of cause and effect, isn't it? And it also means then that you are turning away from the past, the only thing that truly exists, and talking about the present or future when everything is and of the past.
So he's saying if I maintain my current past, decide I don't like that and I want a different present and future from here on, or and then from here on a different past, I'm working against the already established past that's real for me, and trying to set up something new which doesn't have as much realness.
Not really. What I'm saying is that if you want to do all those actions, stop looking about at the future and stop looking at the present and change your path.
Right.
Okay. Doesn't that sound reasonable? To anybody?
Not to most people, from where we've been, yes.
But you see, could you then imagine then how we have relegated ourselves, which is the past, the only thing that is true and real, substantial, the only thing that you can truly deal with is your past, and we've ignored that, saying that therefore the past is gone and we can't do anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're stuck. What if the past is the only thing you can deal with?
Yeah, that's what I think. Sounds like we're getting to.
And as you create a new and ever new and renewing past, you in that then keep the relationship or your life new and fresh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then until you act to create the past you desire, your life and relationships, say with others or with your eternal self, will be undesirable.
Oh, yeah.
But see, we constantly are told to act in the future to create or change your relationships so they will be desirable. But until you change the past of your life and relationships, then everything will be undesirable. I can't understand this, Pat. You just letting all this thing go by, or do you understand all of this and there's no comment?
I was wondering what Patrick was thinking. There's a whole bunch of questions that are forming now, and that you've repeated the statement several times now about constantly renewing and refreshing the past.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Well, you do understand, do you not, that your present is only what you think it is, right?
Yep.
Would you not
then... What was that again? Your present is only what you think it is?
Yeah. Is your present anything other than you think it is?
I guess when you pin me down to it, no, I guess not.
Okay. Then can we say, gee, if that's the case, then your past is only what you think of it is as well.
Right.
You okay with that, right, Patrick?
Yes, so the short answer is yes.
So then you can create the past that you truly desire, can you not? It is only what you think it is in the first place. Why do you think it's so undesirable or so bad or whatever? Only because you are addicted to trying to be able to change the past so that the future will be as you desire. And in that regard, then you create the past as an undesirable, which you are, or desirable sometimes, which you're either trying to maintain or run away from.
Mostly run away from.
What if at every moment you were creating only the past in every action that you truly desire?
Isn't that then, okay, you said that the present is only what we think it is, then past is then only what we think it is.
For you.
For me, yeah.
And if I'm with, if I was in the past with you, it is for me, like 1995 or 1998, those events were only and are in my life only as I think they are or were, and they are for you only as you think they are or were.
Mm-hmm.
So, that then where were you going with that?
Well, then I could... In terms of participating, for instance, in this phone call, it's true then that with every word that I speak, I'm creating a past already, correct? I'm on my way anyway. There, that every word there, I just said it, it's past already. By the time I even take note of it and ask you to comment on it, it's a past, right?
That's right. So you're creating in every word a past.
And then I get to decide exactly how I will participate in this phone call and therefore create the past that I want, don't want, or whatever. I create the past.
Well, actually, you do that with every word you speak. And then what happens is after you've spoken, you tend to judge what you have said. And then you judge the participation or the radio or this show or whatever it is, and your participation in that based on what you heard and what you said. So you've created the past and then you judge it.
Will that always follow? Necessarily follow?
What?
Every word I say creates the past and then I judge it.
And do you not?
Yes, and I ask, does that necessarily have to follow?
You mean the judgment part?
Yeah.
No, then what could follow?
So
Well, if I know, it seems to me that if I know who the hell I am, it follows consistently with whoever I believe I am.
Yeah, but what could that be?
Masters.
What could that be? Your discussion in answering that question was relative to judgment. So, answer it. You said, does that necessarily have to follow? And we're discussing judgment. So answer the question relative to judgments.
Okay, then I will, in the old-fashioned term, I can judge, but I have the option of judging in goodness.
What does that
rather
mean?
Than that means I'll judge and see my attributes, my desirable attributes at work, and all fitting together with how I've decided. Boy, somebody's echoing. How I've decided I will live my life.
The issue is, was judgment. So all you've said in this regard is, yes, judgments will always follow, and then I will struggle against or with those judgments. What is it that you could do that precludes judgment following? If at all. I mean, if that's a given, then yeah, I guess you're right. We got to deal with all that crap. But maybe that's not a given. Let me ask you a question. Are there any judgments in and of the past? Think carefully.
Well, I guess in the first instance, the past will only be as I want it to be.
Yeah, but stay with judgments here. Are there any judgments in and of the past themselves?
No, there is not.
Oh, so then judgments do not necessarily have to follow.
No.
So then...
Do not.
So then we don't even, if we stay with the past, we never have to deal with judgments. You see, what you're trying to do is you're trying to as, and when I say you, I meant 6.5 billion plus or minus people. You never know anymore how, whether they're killing off more than they're creating new ones or not. The way we're going. The issue is then, let's deal with these judgments. If there are no judgments in the past, then always living in the past, there are no judgments.
Hang on a sec. If there's nowhere else to live but the past, that almost seems moot.
Oh, that's right, but you're living that in saying there's nowhere else to live but the past. You're living that by default, and you think that you are living in the present or living in the present for the future, and so you are creating false judgments and imposing that upon yourself and your life.
Now when you put it that way, I think exactly, whatever the hell I think my past is, my tendency will be to look at the past and then decide, what can I do with that I can flash forward into the future into something desirable?
Or you look at the past and say, well, considering what happened, wait a minute, the minute you say, considering what happened, you've moved out of the past of the action into a consequence of that. But if you stay in the past of the action itself, there are no judgments. You make the judgments only relative to a consequence of the past. or a future past.
So if we stick in my simple example, me participating in the phone call, there I participate a lot, a little, or none, and that there that any which one it becomes the past instantly. And then my judgment is I start looking at the consequences of either one of those that I have lived into my past.
Sure, but when you look at the consequences, you've already moved into a future past, haven't you?
Well, is it proper to call it an illusion? We're always in the past, and as you said, it's default. I'm doing it by default. That if I'm consequencing, I'm fooling myself that there is some kind of future that I can control.
Sure, but even in the past that you are living, can we not consider that there's a past, a future past?
And that's going to be Let's talk about that a bit. I don't think I understand that.
Why not? The minute you judge an action that you did in the past, you've moved forward from the past of the action. And you're judging it not in the past of the action, but in the consequence of the action. That's still past, but it's forward in the past.
So okay.
So
it's a new past, then it's the judgment of a past.
So you've moved out of the past of the action and in a sense judged it relative to a future past, what it created, the consequences.
Yep. Okay.
You okay with this?
Yeah, I am now. Yeah.
Now, if everything that is real and only real, it has a past and is in and of the past, how could you then take the next step that judgment doesn't occur?
Well, it seems that it must be that I just live off the tip of my nose.
Well, yes, but what I'm trying to get across here, what if everything you did, you only did that as a past that you were willing to live?
So everything that I'm doing, I'm aware that this is a past that I'll be very pleased to have.
Sure. Doesn't that change everything in your life?
So when Patrick has one of his angry hissy fits, I could be very aware of, but do I really want this past?
That's right. So if you always lived only the past you truly desired, then your present now and the future would take care of itself.
Yeah.
And there would be no judgments necessary, let's say, to cause the present or future that you desire. By always living the past that you truly desire in that, then your present and future takes care of itself. And
that past propels me into what we call the future.
That's right. All you do is, in everything you're doing, all you're doing is really creating more past. And if you're only creating more past that you desire in every action, then we don't necessarily know what your future might be, but we do know it will be as you desire.
Yeah.
But what you're doing, as all the rest of us do, at each moment, you're trying to do the good, better, best, right thing to create the good, better, best, right future to overcome the past. But the past is dominant. And so even when you do that, your present and future is still dominated by the past, because that's the only real thing. Your present is not real, and your future is not real. The only thing that is real is past. The only thing that is steady, firm, unchangeable, and what you can get a handle on is your past. You can't get a handle on anything else.
Yeah, that's right. I'm chuckling to myself, and we had a discussion the other night about the present, and we people were saying that there's no other place to live but the present.
Yeah, but that is the fallacy of, and by the way, Eckhart Tolle's, what was it, The Power of Now or something like that, that's an ancient, ancient thought, but it's invalid, entirely invalid from the start. But once you create a now like a God, then you create all these actions that struggle against and judging or participating in and everything else, and that's the struggle of your life. But the only real or reality in life is past. And so you can deal with your past, you can't deal with your present. There's nothing you can do about it, essentially. Because there is no present, by the way. The now is some sort of span of past. It's a fallacious language concept and has no truth. There is no present. The now is a span of past. We okay?
Yep.
But we spend all of our time in some unknown present trying to create the future we want, because we've said there's nothing you can do about the past. Unfortunately, that's wrong. The only thing you can deal with is your past. If your past is only what you think it is, you can think it is for you whatever you truly desire. And in every action, you can then do only those things that you are willing to be and have as your past.
Mm-hmm.
So living in the present and all of that, ignoring the past is essentially a language concept that totally defeats you. In other words, until you act to create the past you desire, your life, your relationships, and your relationship with, or your communion with your eternal self, will be undesirable. If you are living an undesirable past and you think, okay, well then I can change that. No. You're living an undesirable past. Your present, based on that, will be undesirable. And as long as you are living that undesirable past, because you can't really change that in the future, you have to change it in the past, then your future will be undesirable as well. So that means nothing will change until you change your past. For instance, we might say, what is done and over and past? Well, it's not done and over, nor is it past. Because that past is alive and well within you today, and you will carry that on into the future. You are always living your past because that's the only reality you have.
Roger, in a way, this sounds like the only therapy that there really could be.
You what?
I mean, just in a way, this sounds like the only quote-unquote therapy that there could be, you know, for people who go to therapy and stuff.
What about
it? I know they plunge around in their past, but I don't think they actually get into it like you're suggesting.
No, of course not. They're trying to say, make peace with your past. And I'm saying that you must create the past before your life that you truly desire, that nobody can mess with. And then, since you were born, you must right now begin living everything you do as the past you are willing to be and live.
Right.
Okay. So are you then willing to create at every moment, instead of judging, are you willing to create at every moment a new desirable path to carry forward, or to have that push you forward?
Certainly, it's the only thing that makes sense.
And wait a minute now. Even more than that, as you create a new path that you are willing to carry forward, or in a sense it pushes you forward, that new past also pushes your old past into a deeper past, does it not?
You know, Roger, you on your whiteboard you drew, you had a book. And you had this little character that was hanging on dearly for the edge of the book with its back towards the future. And the book was the past, and it was this little character was being thrust into the future backwards.
Sure.
We could only see it.
That's right. So if you're always living and only your past, then the future takes care of itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
And especially if you're living only the past and creating more of only the past of that which you truly desire in every moment, that pushes you forward so you don't have to worry about your present, and you sure as hell don't have to worry about your future.
Got it.
Well, if you understand all of that, then surely you must realize that opposites cannot occur in the past. In other words, in the present you could say this or that, or the future this or that, but in the past there are no opposites. What it is, was.
Okay, yep.
Well, then if there are no opposites in the past, this is what it is, that's what it was, and this is what it is, then you can't possibly judge the past in the past, can you?
Well, I do a good job of that.
No, you don't. You actually don't realize that what you're judging the past in terms of a future, or in one form or another.
That a whole bunch of shoulda, woulda, if only.
That means then you're looking at the action relative to a future. If I had done this, that wouldn't have occurred. That's a future.
Yep.
So you're still judging the past relative to a future in some form or another. But if you are willing to only live in the past, then you can't possibly judge the past in the past.
Yeah, that seems pretty clear when you talk about it.
Well, that means that if you struggle with and against judgments, you are not living the past you truly desire.
That's for sure.
Well, that means then change your past right now, not your judgments.
Yeah, it'll be a lot easier.
That's right. And it not only gives it easier, it allows you to continue living in the past rather than struggling against your judgment. Do you understand that there are no negative side, there is not a negative side of a relationship in the past?
What does that mean?
It means the relationship was what it was. If you treat it as negative or positive, in the past it wasn't that. You are judging it negative or positive relative to a future outcome. So you're not... So only seeing the relationship in the past, there is no negative side of a relationship.
Well, here, can we talk about that for a moment? Because I have some distinct memories of my relationship with my ex-wife that, if they ain't negative, they were certainly unpleasant.
Let's start it over again. They were unpleasant because of the consequences of the actions. You're ignoring the fact that you are not seeing that in the past. This is what it was. You're saying, well, I wanted it to be something else or other, and etc. So you've carried it forward out of the past into some form of future and judged it in that way.
Okay.
In other words, are you willing to hold on to the past and let go of the present and the future? Andrew, I expected you to jump in there.
I did. Mentally, you picked up on that. So what I was thinking was, because you might not have gotten all of this, I was thinking, so are we saying that, I'm trying to actually work that, right? So I'm picturing like a long distant past of feeling like, you know, coming to alive and feeling like I was setting out to do great things and have a great life. And then coming to like what Pat described, how would that be different? I mean, what you're saying makes sense, but I haven't played it out that way yet, I guess.
I know, because what you're trying to do is, what I'm saying sort of makes sense, but it doesn't make sense in the language of past, present, and future. And that's true, it doesn't. So but what you're trying to do is to see how you can make what I'm saying sensible while you hold on to past, present, and future, or your present beliefs about past, present, and future. That ain't gonna work. I should think of
okay.
All these years by now, you'd
story.
Acquit that.
Okay.
But go ahead, what were you saying?
So you're saying even if I start from the past and I think about I was, you know, headed out to do great things in life and I came to that event, I would only be judging it negative if I somehow thought that cast a diminishment on the present or the future.
Well,
future, where it's...
You died in that statement with the first word. No.
Say again.
You started almost within the first three or four words. You said, if I start out from the past, you've already put the past into a past, present, and future. And all I'm saying
is... Wait, that's what I've been conceiving. So what are you suggesting that's functionally different?
Say only in the past. Life only exists in the past. It's only real in the past. So your life is only real in the past. So stay in the past. What's this start out from bit you're talking about?
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand how to stay in the past. Then I'm just realizing that I don't have the image I had was the one you just pointed out.
That's right. That it's still start out from. It's a past, present, and future. No, I am saying there is only past. There never was a now or a present, and there never will be a future. If the past pushes you into the future, what are you living?
Past.
You see? And if it went skipping on by the present, what are you living?
Still the past.
That's right. What if you get out of this past, present, and future concept that is destroying you and only live in and of the past?
All right.
Is that okay, Patrick?
I'm still struggling with the piece here that again, functionally, I can be aware, let's say go back to Patrick having an angry hissy fit, that I can live something else. I don't need to judge that. You're saying that's okay, that's my past, that's...
I'm saying to you, if you're having an angry hissy fit, is that the past you are willing to live eternally, yes or no?
So I can live, and that is my past.
And hissy fit is exactly what you will live until you create enough of a past to push that away from you.
And it will recede further and further into the past.
Yeah. So what you're really trying to do is you're willing to have a hissy fit because you think, oh yeah, but I can change that and that won't carry off into my future because I'll be happy and pleasant as soon as I have a beer. Which is not any bit of that true. But that's what you think is true. So you go have a beer, but you're still living the hissy fit.
So, the fact that you're saying I need to build up enough of a past that I'll be confident that really is.
I'm saying, are you willing to only live the past?
Gee, that's hard. That's really hard.
You see? Because you only think in terms of language. But you play the game of Eckhart Tolle and all the ancients and say, oh, well, yeah, I'll live in the present. Can't you look at everything you do and say to yourself, is this the past I'm willing to continue living?
I can do that, and then I automatically say that will improve my future.
That's right. So then you judge or whatever. But I'm trying to do is, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to believe anew, it ain't going to work for you until you do it. None of this is going to work for you or do any good as long as your action is past, present, and future. You know, I could ask you, are you the man you wanted to be. The person is your life, and are you the person you wanted to be? You've been struggling to get to be, and you've taken yourself out of the only reality you have to live, and the only reality you can deal with.
Okay, how about this? There is a reasonably common practice that people put away some money for the future, for their retirement, let's say. How do we deal with that in this way? Is my past then, I'm living the past that I desire as a person who puts money away?
Sure, aren't you? Then all of your actions in the same way, then let's say down the line, you're living the past of the person who put what? Good deeds or desirable actions or etc. A way to be lived in the past of the future.
You've often mentioned you've got to be at least schizophrenic here, right?
Yeah. But what I'm trying to do is, don't you understand that the language, you see, wait a minute. Do you understand that in the structure of past, present, and future, which is a structure of language, you don't have any freedom? Whereas if you are only and always living in the past, you have all sorts of freedom.
Yeah. And I think that as you asked the question here a minute ago, am I living the life that I thought I would be living in the future when I was younger? And I've lived the model of past, present, future, and done my darndest to manipulate and plan and otherwise organize the future that never seems to get here.
That's right. That's because you can't deal with the present and you can't even deal with the future. You can only deal with the past. So, had you been all along, always, like the guy who put the money away, living the past you desire, then now you would have the money, the situation, and be living the past you truly desire.
You know what? It's starting to make sense.
Well, gosh, I hope so. Because... you are totally deceived by the underlying structure of language of past, present, and future. You're not only deceived, that's the creation of judgments, problems, difficulties, illnesses, and struggles. And then what you do, as soon as you have a problem, you try to overcome, and so you go right on back into living the past, present, and future, try to change the event to have a better future rather than changing your past. If you have an illness, are you willing to change your past? If you have a money problem, are you willing to change your past and live other or differently?
And in that, we continuously, in a continuously refreshed way, accumulating our past.
Right. Whereas when you're living the past, present, and future, it's never a continually refreshed way. It's a constant trying to overcome the past for a better, different, other future.
I think this is far superior.
That it's what?
It's far superior, but I don't want to get superlative here, okay?
Okay. Well, the question is, how do you suppose your life today would be different if you could and would change your past. Or if you were to create a new past to be and live. Well, the answer, of course, is that, believe it or not, instead of struggling endlessly to overcome the past that you do not desire, you can create and live a new past today and continue creating and living the past you truly desire. When I'm trying to show you to your eternal self, and that's where this is preparation for, in a suscitation mode or way or whatever. Whenever I showed you to your eternal self, I said, your eternal self is eternal into the future as you think it is, but it's also, most vitally, eternal into the past. Therefore, if you would start living the past with your eternal self you truly desire, you carry that into the future past, and you are still living the past you truly desire. We could also say that, like a self-creating particle that creates a particle which creates itself, the past is creating the particle. Well, if it creates only the particles it desires, then desirable particles create the original particle. If you create past lives that are desirable, then you create a desirable past that creates a desirable you today. Then, since that works out so well, why not continue creating the desirable past you truly desire to be and have?
Right. It sounds like struggling with your past is going to create a future where you're struggling with your past, or just more struggling with your past stuff.
That's what the past, present, and future has to deal with. This is to change the past or whatever. No. That isn't going to work because the language has you believing on past, present, and future when in fact it's all past.
So struggling with your past is only going to create the past of struggle for you.
That's right.
Ongoing.
That's demonstrated every day in every way with everyone.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, like a romantic relationship, in the beginning of, say, communion with your eternal self, you were in love. And that was exciting and satisfying. And you felt truly alive to yourself and to your partner, or your communion partner. And then what happened? You stopped living that enlivened and satisfying past, both with an eternal self or with your, let's call it, romantic partner. And when you did that, the communion changed drastically and your loving relationship changed drastically. Until now, everything is different. And both your communion and your relationship is ho-hum or undesirable or completely forsaken. The question is, what the hell happened? And the answer is, you stopped living the past that excited and satisfied you. You followed language in a way then that you thought you could do this to create a great exciting future, and in that somehow or other. So you then gave up or forsook both the loving relationship and the communion you had? What if you just always continued from that siding satisfied, living the continued that past as you desired? You would have that relationship today, would you not? So, the question is, are you always willing to create, live, and expand and extend the past you truly desire? Or, if not, are you willing to change the past rather than trying to change the present and or create a different future? Change the frigging past. Because the first sentence with this thing is that your present and future is only what you think it is, and your past is only what you think it is. Are you willing to then in that then change the past and begin living every aspect or every moment of today as the past you truly desire? The question in all this is, whatever you decide to do, stay out of the present and out of the future. Because if you always live the past you desire, your present and future will be just fine, so don't worry about that. The minute you move into the present, or the now, or be present, or when you live in that way, or live to create the future you desire, you're screwed. You're lost, you're gone. You can't get a handle on anything. If you lose a friend, a partner, or a loved, beloved pet, one of our birds died a couple of days ago. When grief and sadness only occurs in the present, and of course then you can carry that into the future, and you usually do. However, there is no grief in the past. If I live that bird today in the past, there is no grief. Are we okay with that?
Interesting. Yep.
So the question is, why are you living, losing, and grieving in the present when you could be living the past?
Which one of the birds died?
Ooey, the little cockatiel.
Okay.
And he was given to us, so we don't know how old he was. He could have had all sorts of problems because he was way undersized for that kind of bird. He could have been older, we don't know. But, you know, he was a sweet little bird, and I had to bury him in the backyard with about five others that we buried back there.
Oh.
Well, I think it was Nietzsche who declared that those who don't learn from the past are condemned to repeat the past. And that really sounds kind of ominous, doesn't it? But can you understand that those who learn from the past can create and live the past they truly desire? And continue living only the past they truly desire? Are you willing to consider, do not forgive and forget? Never, 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 never forgive and forget. Offer yourself the past you truly desire, so there is nothing to forgive or forget. And instead of struggling to change, live the past you truly desire. Well, that said and done, would it surprise you to learn that when data and information coalesce to form and matter, that coalescence establish an order or ordination of things? Ordination means by the act of it occurring, it created a pattern or a way for things to occur. And that then portrays the arrangement and active interrelationship of all aspects in life. And when that occurred, that was all past, was it not? So, from the past then, you are an ordained individual. Well, the question, of course, is...
Is that a random ordination?
Well, it was random until it established a pattern of occurrence. As data and information coalesced, etc., it created a pattern for that to occur, and the pattern, you within that pattern, are ordained by the nature of that pattern as an ordained individual, you being data and information. Are you willing to be as a part of the natural order and of things? Are you willing to be and live as an ordained individual? Hello, anybody? I'm waiting for somebody to complain.
I'm gonna question rather than complain. I seem to have an image of coalescing into certain patterns, but isn't a tree also a coalesced pattern?
Sure.
And is not a tree ordained to exist as a tree?
Yes.
So when you ask the question, I'm not sure what you mean. Are you willing to be ordained? It seems like, well, yeah, that's the way it, I don't have any argument about that's the way it happened.
Okay, but are you willing in that, that ordained implies authority to do something?
Does that imply a certain uniqueness?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Okay. So, ordained and uniquely situated to...
To be and do.
Right?
To be and do.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Then you don't have you have a purpose in life. You are already ordained.
With the purpose?
Didn't say that. I said you don't have a purpose in life. See, what we've done is, or we, meaning ancient men, have taken the appearance of ordination of all things and said, therefore, if that occurs and it appears to be occurring, then they've, from that, used that to justify that there is a God, that it was an intention, you were intentionally created, and therefore you were created for a purpose. What if we take all of that away and just say, the natural occurrence of data and information coalescing, and etc. Thus, there you are. In the act of that as a natural occurrence, you, like a apple tree is ordained to be and give apples, and a chestnut tree is ordained to be a chestnut tree and to give chestnuts, that you are ordained to be a you, and in that to do something. But that is not a purpose. Because a purpose, in this regard would be intentional, but there is no intentionality, there is no purpose, but it's an ordination, a natural ordination. Is that okay?
Yep.
And are you willing then to accept that maybe that ordination is to live yourself as a formed personal being or a manifested personal being and an unmanifested personal being in communion?
And the unmanifested is eternal being.
And what?
The unmanifested is the eternal being.
Let's assume that's so.
Mm.
Is that okay so far?
Yep. So far, yes.
So then, as an ordained individual in that regard, you do not have a purpose, yet because of the natural pattern of things, you are ordained to do something, like an apple tree is to live as an apple tree. Is this okay?
Yeah, and you're saying that we're ordained to exist as an unmanifested being and a manifested physical being operating, functioning in community.
Okay. And further, are you willing to accept that you are ordained to manifest that which is unmanifested?
This is
not a purpose that you must do. You are ordained to do that. Well, should you choose to do that. But the natural flow or pattern of yourself is that is the way you are ordained. Is that okay?
I understand what you're saying. Now, but to manifest that is not manifested.
You what?
Let's talk about that last bit about what does that mean?
What does to manifest what is unmanifested?
Yeah.
Well, let me reverse this for a moment. Religion and Buddhism and a few other isms and all of that seem to feel that your job is to unmanifest, to undo what is already done. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, it seems like good old Catholic boy in me says that I gotta overcome this dense physical existence to become unmanifested.
Okay, but then what you're doing in that is overcoming what is already done.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. No.
Relative to our normal way of consideration, let's reverse that and say maybe the universe has gone as far as it can or wants or etc., that you are ordained to manifest that which has not been manifested. Which of those two makes sense to you?
Well,
door number two.
Yes.
But all of religion, metaphysics, teachings, most philosophies, and etc., it seems to overcome or undo what has already been done. That's your purpose. You won't have peace and happiness, joy, pleasure, excitement until you undo what has already been done. I'm suggesting you won't have peace, happiness until you do what hasn't been done yet. That you manifest what hasn't been manifested. Well, wait a minute, if that's the case, that you get to manifest what hasn't been manifested however you want to do that. Which of those two seems reasonable or desirable? And if you say, well, you know, I think the desirable one is to undo, like religion says, Buddhism says, metaphysics says, to undo that which has been done, I think there is a relationship between past and future that you're always struggling to undo the past that is already done. Isn't that kind of stupid? Would it not then be to do more of the same? To manifest that which hasn't even been manifested yet? To manifest more past? Is anybody still with me out there?
Sure are.
Yes.
All aboard.
Okay, well, I said you only have to take everything you thought you knew and turn it around, you might be okay. Come close. Okay. You can know all the facts possible about yourself and life, but if you don't know the underlying ordination pattern of those facts, nothing about you and your life will make any sense. Okay. If that's the case, then let's consider a little bit more about this word ordination. Your ordination does not mean that you have been set apart and consecrated for some special purposes. It doesn't mean that you've been set apart to perform unusual functions in life. An ordination is not unique to you. For all beings and things, essentially, are ordered or ordained to be and live as they truly desire. Wait a minute. If you are ordained to be and live as you truly desire, have you ever considered that you can only live as you truly desire in the past, of the past? There is no now. You can't live in the now as you truly desire, because you will always find yourself, even if there was a now, living to create a future that you desire. Are you willing to then, if to live yourself as you truly desire, you must live the past you truly desire at every moment? Does that make sense? So the universe then tenders this privileged ordination to you and fully supports you by never interfering in your living the past. Wait a minute. Could you see maybe... Wait just a minute. Now, let me see if I get this right. Maybe that the universe interferes somehow or other with your living the... Or it seems so anyway. Living the present you desire and interferes with your living the future you desire. But the universe never does nor can it interfere with your always living the past you desire. You okay with that?
Well,
I don't understand why. Don't understand why it's important to put in there that the universe will interfere with me living the present. I thought the universe says, "Go ahead. If you want to be an idiot, that's fine."
Well, because even in the present, your car breaks down. You didn't get there. Ad infinitum in that regard. So the universe is still, we think it is, we still think it is interfering with us. Let's put it that way. It's not that it is per se, as you say, but we treat it as it is, thinking that it is interfering with us in that regard. You're right.
Trying to guide us to the right way.
Life is full of learnings and lessons and doing rights and trying to guide you, and it gives you angels and protectors and all of that so that you'll do it all right.
That's right.
All right. So, if this is the case, and you're willing to live it in the past as you truly desire, then do you see that that is that you are choosing the form and nature of your ordination?
Wouldn't we also say that we get to create the form and nature of the expression of our ordination?
Yeah, but you get to live the form and nature of the ordination and the expression of the ordination.
Oh, okay, get to live. Okay.
In other words, in that regard, if you think that you get to live the form and nature of your ordination, and therefore, which is to live as you truly desire, and then you set that as present and future, then you struggle with cause and effect, you struggle with judgments and etc. to cause and live the ordination that you desire. You've created both the ordination and the appearance or form of that ordination in a, let's say, a cause and effect way. Right?
See that, yeah.
But if you are living always the past you truly desire, then in doing that, you are setting that as the form and nature of your ordination in life, and then also living the appearances of that as you truly desire as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the first instance, you're always going to be struggling against the past and struggling for the future, or to try and create your ordination in that way, and everything in life will seem to be interfering with you. Whereas if you set the ordination of yourself to live as you truly desire, and to live the and that be to live the past you truly desire, then you set both the ordination and that form of expression for yourself. But that form and nature of the ordination cannot be interfered with. Not by you, not by the universe, not by anyone. And not only that, if you understand all of this, then you understand that past is only the real you. The future, the hoped for future that you hope to get to, is not, even if you got there, the real you. So, your choice right now is to see and choose the form and nature of your ordination of the life that you truly desire, that you will live. And then pattern that life the way and the manner you choose to live it. Have I lost everybody? Should I give up?
No, I don't think it's
necessary. Okay. Are you willing to accept that God does not exist, not as a power, a force, a consciousness, love, awareness, or goodness, and you are not ordained in any way by God?
Yes.
So, there is no intention or the force upon the ordination, except as you live it. Actually, God, in all of this, is a projected condition of yourself and life. And if you always live the past you would truly desire, and you project a God, you will always and only project a God you truly desire. If you have projected a God you do not desire in any form or in any way, then you know, take a clue from that you are living your ordination in the way and the manner of language, trying to get there from here, trying to do something and struggling against your past, rather than living only the past you truly desire, and in this regard, with or without a God you truly desire. Do you understand that in all this put it together, it is the framework of your life? Your ordination. What?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought somebody said no. I've said this before. In the midst of a dream, everything seems real, and you are fully engaged in the events, yet upon awakening, you immediately know it was only a dream. I've asked, how did you know so quickly that it was a dream?
I can remember past before the dream.
So, but you don't have a past before the dream, but you have a past of yourself before the dream, so that you know that you are real and the dream is unreal. It only seemed real in the midst of its going on. And so here you are living today, and in every moment of today, you seem to be you are creating a past such that what you're doing today seems real while you're engaged. But the moment you are stopped engaging in this life, this life will not be real, and there will be a real life that you have given a pass to only.
Right.
If you do not give a pass to your eternal self, then you will... Allow me this to say this. Let's see. Do you understand that without living the past, and always the past, You will always be disappointed in death. Does anybody want to tackle that one? Nobody wants to tackle that one?
Not especially.
Well, it's death, then, if I'm living life according to the, or living past, present, and future according to the pattern of language, then death will be the ultimate disappointment because there is no future.
And you keep then doing the same thing over and over and over again. And isn't what?
Just because I'm living
exactly.
All right, let's look at it from a different perspective. Supposing you are then always creating and living the past you truly desire today. And that past from this pushes you into the future. But that's okay because you're living the past that you truly desire. What if then you live the past you truly desire and that pushes you into death and beyond death? Well, that's okay because now beyond death you are living the self and life you truly desire. What if you don't do that? What if you're trying to overcome the past and live the future and you live past your death? Aren't you still struggling after death to create the future you desire? Rather disappointing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but okay, why? Because it never came. And I don't see any way of it, have no realization of it or something?
Because if you don't create the past you want to live, you'll keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, as shown by past life readings.
Right, okay. That's
different ways in which you are expressing, but you're still living the same life over and over and over again.
Okay.
As a samurai, as a judge, as a consultant, same damn life over and over and over again. Different time, different place, different face, same life. That's kind of disappointing. What if you live and create the past you truly desire and let that push you past death, and then after death you are living as you truly desire? Where is there disappointing in that?
Salesman.
You know, the greatest fun I ever had in driving is in Boston when I was at MIT. A friend of mine had a 1925 Rolls Royce with a continental steering on the right side. And so he'd drive in the traffic, and like maybe he'd be driving with his kid. So his kid would be sitting in the left seat, and he'd be steering over in the right seat. And people always thought this little kid was driving the Rolls Royce. And the eye doesn't take in; it only sees what it expects to see. What if you give the eye what you expect it to see, to be, and live? If you live your life, the past you truly desire and understand, that pushes you into the future. All I do is say to yourself, if you understand that, take one step further, and it pushes you into the future beyond death. If you don't, and you're then living as you truly desire. If you are living, struggling to create what you desire, then after death you will continue struggling to create what you desire, And won't that be disappointing?
Yep.
So, the question is, maybe you shouldn't fear death so much, you should be afraid of the disappointment of death. Okay. All right, so you knew when you quit dreaming. Now, answer this question. Can you tell me for actual factual that your life today is real or a dream? And we would say this. If the real always has a past, then your life today is only as a dream until you are always creating the past, the far past as well, that you truly desire. So, the question is, are you willing to then live your life today in the past as you truly desire, and combine that with the eternal self in and of the past that you truly desire, so that your life today is real as you truly desire and are willing to then live that and know that and understand that? I guess not. Okay. Well,
say that again.
Mean this whole evening, and now we get Sally. It comes in and says, "Say that again."
Selena.
Oh, that's okay.
The last portion, just the last portion.
Here's what I said.
Okay.
From the get-go. While you're in the dream seems real because you are constantly creating a past. The dream, as it moves on, creates a past for itself. When you wake up, you realize that, in fact, the dream is only a dream simply because it has no past beyond when it, or past before it started. Well, okay. If that's true, then, and you say, then, my life today is real, and the dream is a dream. Well, if that's the case, then if you don't create a past before your birth in this lifetime, how can you tell whether your life today is only like a dream, and that, in fact, you are living a real life, dreaming this one? If you are only living the past you truly desire and creating that with your eternal being before this lifetime, then every aspect of this lifetime becomes real. Well, before, I guess, you really want to make this a life, a real life, you might say, well, wait a minute now. Before I realize this life, shouldn't I consider whether it is a life I truly desire to be willing to live eternally? Because if I create a past and that makes it real, then I'm stuck. All I'm asking you is then that, are you willing to consider living this life not by language but as living the past you truly desire? And then realize that through the nature of creating the past before this life with eternal self. Does that make sense? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, then, if that makes sense, we might as well stop there. We don't want to go any further because we might get into some nonsense. Okay, well, that's tonight. Now you begin. I said I was originally going to put this all up on the website and say, hey, go read it. And what I decided here was, no, I guess I have to really discuss it. Well, do you understand why we're discussing it? Because before we then start creating the eternal self past that you truly desire, which is going to then realize your life today, want to make sure all of these things are really what you're doing is what you truly desire. So you want, because I don't want you to be disappointed in your death. Okay. So we'll quit a few minutes early today. Night, everybody.
Night.
Night.
Thank you.